Okay. Take your Bibles this morning, and we'll be looking into Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning with verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah, the king, and the queen mother, the court officials, and the princes of the Judah and Jerusalem and the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by hand to Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, the king of Judah, went to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the father of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, and multiply there, and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name, and I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will be called. Then you will call upon me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." Have you ever made this statement, "I cannot wait until"? How many of you have ever done that? I can't wait until. Well, let me give you some possibilities of how we might finish this sentence. I can't wait until I am in a better job. Or I can't wait until school is out. I can't wait until I finish with school. And I can't wait till I feel better. Could you say that, Crystal? Every day. I can't wait till I feel better. I can't wait till I'm out of debt. I can't wait till I'm on top of my attitude. Does everybody have an attitude? We all need to work on those, don't we? Who? Well, and Bill didn't say that. And I can't wait till things get better at our house. and so on and so on. So what does God want to do when we find ourselves in one of those situations? Until then, situations. Well, in verse 1, we'll find what Jeremiah says here in verse 1. And I want to read that again. Now, listen to what he says. Now, these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priest, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. See, these people were wondering what to do until the exile was over, right? They was wondering, I can't wait until this exile is over. And see, God gave them an answer. And these, I want to share some principles here that still apply to us today. First, until then, get God's perspective on your situation. Notice verse 4, which reads, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So who carried the Israelites into captivity? Verse 4 tells us, doesn't it? It was God. God put them then in there for a reason. And this is difficult truth for us to comprehend, isn't it? See, God may allow you to be where you are today. For whatever reason, He has put you there. This is one of the difficult aspects of believing in a sovereignty or a sovereign God. All-powerful, all-knowing. A God who is in control of all things. And our sovereignty God means that God knows, He allows, and sends even the trials into our lives sometimes. For example, well, it is very imperative that we get God's perspective on everything in our lives. We need to get God's perspective on every situation, everything within our lives. And for example, if you go back into Genesis around chapter 11, it gives us the whole picture of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, right? And Joseph was the 11th son, right? He was the 11th son. And he had a dream. And he shared it with his other brothers. That at some point in time, that they were going to just bow down to him. They was going to be obedient to him. Well, they didn't like that at all. They weren't happy with that at all. So they had their own little meeting. What are we going to do with Joseph? We can't have this. So they schemed to how they was going to handle Joseph and his dream. So while they were out, one of the brothers decided, why don't we sell him into slavery? And then some slave traders came along, and they sold Joseph to the slave traders. Well, Joseph ended up in a foreign nation, foreign country, Egypt. And in the process, Joseph became one of the Pharaoh's handyman. He was an important. He put him in a position where that he had some good opportunities to do things for the country, for the nation. And God sent a famine over that area, that nation, that country. And so what happens? Joseph's brothers ended up going to Egypt to get food. Joseph happened to be over this area of dispersing the food and so forth to people who came to that country. And guess who shows up in front of Joseph? His brothers. Well, a time span had taken place, and Joseph grew up, and he made a lot of changes. They didn't recognize him, but he recognized his brothers. And once he made himself known to his brothers, they were fearful and were afraid that Joseph was going to take revenge upon them. But guess what? Look in with me in Genesis 45:5. And Joseph said, "Do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." You see, Joseph, through that process of until then, until I get out of this situation, God, he saw God working in his behalf. He said, "Don't stress yourself out. Don't be angry with yourself. God placed me here to save lives." See, Joseph saw God's hand even in his adversity. See, Joseph saw God's perspective. A lot of times when, as we see in this world today, as we see things happening that we can't comprehend or explain, if we trust God with our life as Christians, and if we try to live the best that we know how, according to God's word as he has laid it out before us, and the only way we would truly know God's will and purpose for each one of our lives is to read his word. And then when we read his word, we know that he is a sovereignty God, all-powerful, all-knowing, and puts or sends us into situations like he did Joseph, then we can see from God's perspective, it's going to work out for the good. See, it worked out for the good for Joseph. His brothers, you know, they were just wanting to get rid of Joseph. They wanted him out of their lives. But see, God had a plan. See, God has a plan for each one of our lives, and it is for the good. He has us always in his best interest. And sometimes we get out of touch with what God is wanting to do in our life, and sometimes we want to look on the negative side of life, and we get on the downside of our lives, and still looking to God and said, "You know, I know you're going to work this out. I trust you." You know, we can always be concerned. And God wants us to be concerned. He don't want us to be complacent and take things for granted. But he does want us to trust him. And see, Joseph trusted in God, because in his dream, he knew that God was going to work out something on his behalf for his family. And as the process continued, then when his brother stood before him, he said, "Don't worry about it. Don't fret. God worked this out for all of us, for this nation, even Egypt, who was a foreign nation to God. He worked it in their behalf and put Joseph there, and he was in favor of the Pharaoh there." So when we look at God's perspective, it always works out for the good. See, perspective is always important. See, a right perspective can ease our pain. It's something like what Coach John McKay of USC said to his team after they had been humiliated by a score of 51-0 to Notre Dame. McCain came into the locker room. He saw his players beaten and torn down and fretful, and anybody would be 51-0 score. But he said, he got up on the bench and he said to them, "Men, let's keep this in the right perspective. There are 800 million Chinese who don't even know that we even play this day. Now that's a good perspective, isn't it? That's the right perspective. That's what you call the right perspective. See, the death of Jesus on the cross is another example of divine perspective. See, his death seemed useless. His death seemed so pointless to his first followers, his disciples. His death seemed to be a defeat. They felt defeat. But from God's perspective, his death offered hope to mankind. From God's perspective, his death offered eternal life. Secondly, until then, get productive where you are. See, sometimes we blame our situation on the lack of service to God. See, it's easy to make excuses. So this year, if you make any resolutions, okay, don't make excuses. Don't make any resolutions that you can come up with an excuse with. Sometimes we blame our situation for lack of our service to God. And it is easy to make excuses. I will serve God when I feel better or I feel like it. I will serve God when things get worked out at home. I will serve God when things are better at work. I will have a daily quiet time when I feel better or I can find time. I will share my faith when I am more secure or confident. Well, you see, we can get confident when we read the Word of God. When we say, God, I know I need to be doing these things, so don't let me come up with excuses. Just give me the confidence. Give me the ability to share the Word with people I come in contact. You see, in verses 5 and 6, look there with me in this text, because he gives them the confidence by saying, you know, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give daughters in marriage so that they may have sons and daughters. Increase in the number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. You see the perspective that God has given them to not feel defeated or come up with excuses. See, he is giving them his perspective. See, instead of blaming their situation on God, He wanted to transform their lives, because the reason they were in exile, because of all of those years of running from God or disobeying God, and God had to bring them to a point of understanding that they needed to depend upon him. He would provide for all the things that they needed if they would only believe and trust in him. Dietrich Bonhoeffer is an example of a man who transformed his situation. He was a German theologian who was arrested by Hitler, and his secret officers went and got him out of his parents' home, and they put him in prison. And while he was in prison, he wrote one of the classics of Christian literature, The Cost of Discipleship. While Bonhoeffer was in prison, he changed the environment of the prison and got productive where he found himself. Listen to what he said, what was said of him. He made such an impact on those who were in prison with him and those who were guards over him. He made such an impact. This is what somebody wrote about him. Bonhoeffer greatly inspired all of those that came in contact with him. He even inspired his guards with respect of some whom became so much attached to him that they smuggled his papers and poems written out of the prison and apologized to him for having to lock his door after he came out of the courtyard. You see the impact that we can have when we have God's perspective. And you see, Bonhoeffer was arrested for sharing the gospel. He was arrested for sharing his faith. And yet, God put him in a situation that he made an impact even during Hitler's time, and they could have been killed themselves. Hitler would have annihilated anyone who would be professing God or teaching God or anything. But Bonhoeffer was so committed and dedicated and had the right perspective about God in his life that he wasn't ashamed to share it and made the impact even on guards, those who had him captive, and his inmates as well. That's having the right perspective. Until then, listen to God's voice. In verses 10 and 13, it says, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place, for I know the place I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." You see what God is saying through Jeremiah? After all of this is behind you, until then, you will be seeking me, and you will find me. Until then, pray to me. You're going to prosper. And back in the other verses that I read a while ago, verses 5 and 6, he said, "And when you get to the place that I'm going to take you," because you will be having the right perspective of all of the time that you have spent in exile, "I haven't forgot about you." You see, God never forgets about us. Too often we forget about his sovereignty, forget about his power. We forget sometimes that he's in control. He's in control of everything in our lives. And see, he doesn't force himself on anyone. See, he could have made Israel, Judah, he could have made them bow before him. But he didn't. See, he gives us the free choice, the will. Because in his sovereignty, in his power, in his love, in his grace to us, see, gives us his perspective. And it helps us better understand that each day that we arise, he has given us a new day to make a difference in this world. Like all of these people, Bonhoeffer and others that proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ. You see, they were in the worst conditions. Take the Apostle Paul, in the worst condition, in prison, and torment, being punished, and mistreated in all ways that we can't even fathom in our life. But yet, they kept a focus, and they kept a right perspective on who God is and how he was going to work out their situation. In our lives today, and as we begin this year, you know, if we can keep in the right perspective that God's going to work his will and purpose out in our life, we don't have anything to worry about. See, there's two principles that come from these verses I just read, 10 through 13. Principle one is, listen to God because he is more concerned with obedience than comfort. If God wanted these people to be comfortable, he would have never allowed them to spend 70 years in Babylon. In his book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, he shares a simple truth. He says, God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort, but character development. I don't know how many of you have read Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Church or Purpose-Driven Life. And some churches try to fashion their ministry around that. And some churches successful, but you got churches that's got to look right within themselves where God wants them. We got to look at God's perspective, what each church is to accomplish in His name. And all churches are not going to accomplish all the same things because not all the same people go to one church. That's why we have so many different churches in our community around the world, because God is willing to work His will and purpose in each one of our lives if we use His perspective for our situation or any given situation. See, He wants to work His will and purpose in our lives right where we are. If we're in the right place with our own spiritual life, see, God can use us anywhere He places us, right? He can use us anywhere. And that's why He used Joseph. That's why He used Apostle Paul and the disciples. He took them right where they were in their own life, in their spiritual maturity, in their physical being, in their skills, and He laid the groundwork for them and said, you follow this. You follow this pattern, and you'll be exactly where I want you to be until then. And if we will follow God's perspective, we will arrive at His destination. Principle two, listen to God because He is more concerned with obedience than comfort. See, Jesus, He went to the cross. He displayed perfect obedience to the will of God. In Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 6 and 8, it says, Jesus, who being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to grasp, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even on the cross. See, the second principle is this. Listen to God because He knows your situation. He knows your circumstance. And look at verse 11 and 12 of Jeremiah 29, which says, For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I want to break this providence down for you and me to better understand it. Providence comes from the word pro, which means before, and video, which means to see. Therefore, providence means to see before. This means that God sees before and He plans accordingly. Now, if we can look at it in that viewpoint, we can better understand God's perspective for our lives. There was an inspiring story in the Baptist magazine about a young man named Daniel Ritchie. Daniel Ritchie was born without arms, but he had his mind set on doing what God wanted him to do. He felt God's calling in his life at age 16, and he followed that calling in his life. The article said that Daniel did not allow his disability to slow him down. He graduated from Southeastern College in Wake Forest, North Carolina, on May the 23rd, 2007, with a 3.3 GPA. He then accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, which changed his life and helped him to gain confidence as a person. Daniel said, if God has gotten me this far in life, then no matter what you have to face, whether it be family member dying of cancer or a sick child or tough finances time or whatever, even though things might not go as you planned, God's still sovereign and God is still Lord over all. And the ark goes on to say that he is still productive in serving the Lord. Why is he productive? Because he has God's perspective. My challenge to you this year, you know, as we as individuals, we as Versailles Baptist Church, no matter what kind of situation we find ourselves in, keep the right perspective. Know who you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Know who you are in your relation with Jesus Christ, that he will open up doors for you, opportunities. You know, something that you know, just like Joseph and Bonhoeffer and all of those, whatever situation you find yourself in, understand God is using you to fulfill his purpose. And every one of us here is put here on this earth to do what? To serve and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus went to the cross. He died for our sins. He died to give us eternal life. You see, God had the right perspective from the very beginning of Genesis and even to Revelation, where one of these days he's going to prepare a home for every one of us. As John chapter 14 says, as Jesus told the disciples, if you'll keep this perspective and keep on, and don't give in, don't give up, endure to the end, and until then, as long as you're here on this earth, fulfill the promises and the commandments that I've given you, and you will be victorious in life. That's his promise to each one of us. That's the challenge that we are given in life by a sovereignty God who loves us and cares for us so much that he went to the cross and died for our sin. If we're to keep that perspective in mind, we'll never be defeated, because Christ won the victory for us when he went to the cross. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that we can come before you. And Lord, help us this new year, this first Sunday of the year, that we'll keep everything in the right perspective, that we'll start this year out totally committed to serving your purpose, your calling in each one of our lives. And may we not be distracted by any situation or circumstances that 2015 will bring. Lord, help us understand, Lord, that you're fulfilling your prophecy, and our lives is right in the middle of all of this. And Lord, thank you this morning that we'll be taking the cup and the bread, which symbolize your death on Calvary. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for what will be accomplished as we continue to strive to do your will. We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to stand and sing hymn number 286. No, I'm sorry, 385. I jumped ahead there. Near the cross. Sorry about that. 385.